Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Jimmy Palumbo Show. That's right, show number 162 here. Well, everybody, of course, this is show number 162, of course, coming to you with the opening song from the Southern Cross band, Stay Alive, which is the theme song of my show. Shout out to the Pruitt brothers down there and the rest of the Southern Cross band for allowing me to use that music. And also shout out to Sonny Pruitt. I think he's gotten some high surgery. Hope you're doing okay, Sonny. This is show number 162. We are coming to you from downtown Mahwah, New Jersey, at the Average Dining Room Studios here, and of course, across the glass, your friend and mine, a earlier in the week very upset person, and now smiling, happy due to some incidents regarding sports. Ladies and gentlemen, behind the glass, your friend and mine from the capital of the media world down in downtown Mahwah, New Jersey, via his home studios here. We are on the fly because he's got better cable. Your friend is mine behind the glass, Dave Sturgio. What's up, Dave? How we doing?
What's up, Jimmy? Yeah, man. Listen, it's crazy how sports can really turn things around for you. But very excited about what transpired last night. We'll get into all that. But doing from the home studio because Optimum sucks ass down in Mattawan and they don't want to offer any fiber optics. So they did it at my house, which is so weird. I still don't know how that all works, but whatever.
Now, the funny thing is we're trying. Listen, one thing about the Jimmy Palumbo Show, we are evolving technology. Right now, I don't hear you out of these. I don't know why I'm wearing these because I only hear you out of the Mac, not out of my things here.
That's not ideal.
All the buttons are the same on my end. I do it every week. But I can still hear you coming out of the back. But I want to keep these on because we look official. But I'm only getting you now. Is that causing an issue with reverb or anything?
No, like that? I hear you just fine, Jimmy. I hear you just fine.
So your voice doesn't come back through my microphone then? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. I don't hear myself. So that's we're good to go. Well,
once again, nothing. One of the things I'm a master at, matter of fact, I should teach a class about podcasting is the opening of my shows are always so smooth because I have no idea what I'm doing. But listen, as you well know, show number 162, I don't even have a good number 62. I didn't even look that up. Usually I do, but I did not. But of course, at the top of the hour here on the Jimmy Palumbo Show, we do our baseball card thing, which some people love and some people hate. The people that hate it, well, what can I tell you? You got that 10-second button on your podcast.
Who hates who has anybody actually said like I hate this segment?
Hates it because he thinks I get the stuff wrong, but he's wrong too.
We're reading it right off the back of a baseball card. What the hell is he talking about?
But this guy, we're back to after having like four Hall of Famers in a row, we are back to shitty players, which that makes it more funny to me. This guy, I got his 1982 card. This guy played with the Yankees for 3 years. You're never going to get him. I barely remember him, but I do remember him because I was still in my prime wiffle ball years. And it is on Yankee here, Bobby Brown.
Ah, now, the Bobby Brown.
The Bobby Brown. Now, the only thing is, you don't know this either. There was a famous Yankee called Dr. Bobby Brown, who was the president of the American League for years and a player in the 30s and 40s, and who just passed away not too long ago at age like 105. This guy lived a long time. So when you Google Bobby Brown, you're getting that guy. So you have to have like subset of Google to figure this guy out. But listen, the not as good Bobby Brown, my guy, 7 years in the bigs, 245 batting average, 26 home runs, 130 RBIs, lifetime. But he did have 110 stolen bases in 7 years, played with Toronto, the Yankees from 79 to 81, played with Seattle and the Padres. 1980, batted 260 with the Yanks, 14 home runs in a full season, so he wasn't that bad. Played the outfield. But in the playoffs in 1980, he was 0 for 10, probably was up in key spots and didn't do anything. He was in the postseason more than I thought. He was 2 for 31 in the postseason, so he was Winfield-esque in the postseason. Drafted by the Orioles, then got cut, signed by a free agent, ended up with the Phillies. Now, he was traded with Jay Johnstone to the Yanks for Raleigh Eastwick. Stupid trade.
Ah, good old Raleigh Eastwick.
Sparky Lyle and other players were making bad comments. Yankees were a mess in 1980, so they were yelling and screaming at each other. He's 69 years old, and I can't find anything on him. I went to Instagram. I can't find any of them. I don't know what this guy's doing. First of all, Bobby Brown. There must be 9 million Bobby Browns in the world.
You know what, though? You know what? He's not. He is not Cliff Johnson. He's not Cliff Johnson.
By the way, we're going to mention that every show. Please go to the But Not Cliff Johnson video, and you will find that to be the funniest thing of all time. I will mention that every show until that guy gets more clicks than he deserves in the posting Hall of Fame. So that's it. My guy, Bobby Brown, not much on him. I'm sure my brother will text me. He's about a month behind and tell me that. You didn't mention that he got a key base hit against the Indians on a Tuesday night in 1980. But that's it. Bobby Brown, 82 card. Who do we got? You got anybody?
Yeah, of course I got somebody. But this time, unfortunately, since I'm home, I went into the attic, the old man cave, and I said, I do have a stack of cards here. That's great. So now I can participate. But they're all basketball cards, which is, it works. And the first one on the top just so happened to be my favorite basketball player of all time. He is a New York Knick. He is the reason why we could not win the 94 finals in game 7.
John Starks.
Mr. John Starks is my guy. That's okay. A beautiful shout out, John Starks.
His new nickname is John Jalen Brunson Starks. Listen,
Starks was there last night courtside, and to see him going absolutely batshit nuts for the Knicks last night was very, very cool.
He's still a big Knicks fan. He's always been.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know his daughter was a singer there for a while, and he was.
It's kind of crazy.
He wasn't a great player. He was a good player. He got hot with the Knicks. He just unfortunately chose a bad night to have a horrific game, and Pat Riley, yeah. I would have done this. Anybody who's – these stupid fans that say they should have took John Starks out are the same ones who are saying, and we're going to get to the Knicks in a minute, that Jalen Brunson should have been benched. When you take a girl to the prom, you got to stay with the girl you took to the prom, and you take her home and drop her off. It's not going your way. You drop her off, you say goodbye, and you go to Riffy's and get a cocktail. I mean, you cannot, just switch. John Starks was the man in the playoffs. He's having a bad night, but he was the kind of player who could be 1 for 11 and hit the last 6 shots, and then the Knicks win that game by 10 points. But he didn't. He kept on shooting.
No, he did not.
It was started to bounce at the end there. Remember, it started to hit the backside of the rim. He was awful.
It was a bad night.
He wasn't a great player. He was a good player. And he was a good player for the Knicks in a short little period of time that everybody remembers. John Starks. Yep. All right. Well, Bobby Brown and John Starks here at Shea. Now, Patreon, we are now in a huge slump. Matter of fact, we have to post something. I have to get a 41. Everybody knows I'm a fan of Ben Hur, and he's number 41. Rowell and Liv, and we are at 40. And, of course, I got a shout-out here. I got a weird thing on Patreon. Jeff Fulgioni, who signed up already. He got a thing that he was signing up again. Maybe I misinterpreted it. I said, wait a minute. He did more money. So I sent him a note. He was busting his balls. We are still at 40. Shout out to Tyson Hogan, who's every time the Knicks win or anything, he knows that you and I are all over. He's all over it right away. I don't know. Are we in the private chat here? Can I see the private?
There's nobody chiming in right now, but no. Yeah, there's nobody.
Called sign in for, I don't know what I got there, so
I don't know.
I don't see no private chats here, Jay.
No private chats.
I don't know what the hell's going on there, but shout out to Tyson Hogan, also Louis Vicciadomini, who was gonna meet me in Florida, but I had too much to do with the kids and all that stuff, so I couldn't do it. And also to Greg Casolino, aka Miller, who's moving to Norway and Europe, he's involved with this wild video thing that could make him probably billions of dollars if it goes his way. Shout out and stuff like that. All right, so those are my three guys to give a shout out to. And also, of course, your friend and mine, ChasingMiracles.com. That's right. This stuff are patches. They are shit your body needs. I'm wearing them right now. My mother really can't. If she goes 2 days without these patches, she's like in pain. I swear to God, this stuff works. If you got a bad knee or a bad shoulder or anything going on, wear these things. Now, my mother's not the kind of lady who's like, oh, Jimmy, these damn things cost so much money. No, she's like, no, tell your friend I'm going to order another patch. She's got patches all over the house. They're stem cell patches. They're they give you way your body regenerates itself and all that stuff. No needles, non-invasive. You can still pee in the cup. My mother can still play for MLB if she pees in the cup. And nothing enters your body. It's all non-transdermal day here at the stadium. These things are great. Go to Chasing Miracles. You got to talk to Tommy and Donna. Order through them, and they will walk you through all the crazy cool shit that this stuff does. ChasingMiracles.com, the only way to go. Now, we have so much to talk about on the show. Hopefully, we won't go too long. First of all, we got to talk about your New York Knicks. First of all, they're up 2-0. I'm embarrassed. I'll tell you why. I'm one of those, I guess when you get older, you only watch your team. I just don't have the mental energy for, like, knowing the rest of the league. And, I heard of Embiid. But all of a sudden, they put something in the paper a couple days ago before game one, comparing Brunson and Embiid this year. And I was laughing because, like, Embiid's stats were like, Brunson to me was the best player ever. And Embiid casually had better stats.
Well, Embiid was hurt pretty much all year. So
he was hurt. It still doesn't matter. His average per game, everything per game was higher. And I was like, I forgot. And then I went online and looked this guy's stats up, and I'm like, holy shit, this guy, he gets hurt every year, but his stats without getting hurt are nuts. And he was a dominant. Even the first two games, Embiid, he's playing on one leg, and he still dominated. He hits free throws. He hits threes. He hits the jumpers. He gets rebounds. He plugs the middle. I mean, he's just a whole damn thing. What a great player. It's so sad that for the league, I think, and for Philly fans, that the guy's hurt. I'm glad he's hurt right now during the Knicks series, but he's a beast, man. And the Knicks won a wild game. Maybe some fouls weren't called at the end of that game. But you know what? I've seen Nick. There was bad calls all game, I thought. And the Knicks, listen, it's playoffs. You're at home. Everybody's yelling and screaming. And you know what? Hartenstein got that huge rebound. I mean, it was Philly guys all over the place. He jumped in. That was a key rebound. Ball was – the timeout thing is not as exact as that guy, Nurse, whatever his name is, the coach.
Yeah, you can't – first of all, you can't call timeout if your team doesn't have possession of the ball. Right. You know, so, like, he pump faked it first.
Yeah,
then he was like, all right, now I'll call timeout. But by the time he did this – we had the ball already.
The guy's hands. And you see it. And this couple of Philly guys online were like, look, right here, there's the timeout. I'm like, yeah, he called it. But where's the ball? The ball is now. And
it's easy to do when there's like a still shot, too. You know what I mean? Like, if you're watching that shit in real time, there's no way you're going to be able to just determine.
It was crazy ending. And then big three, he hit. And then, you know, it's so funny. The announcer's like, hey, this game's not over. They still had two possessions. Like, I was one of those Knicks fans. Like, if they were up by six with 0.05 seconds ago, I was like, this game's not over. Like, something's going to go shitty. And Embiid looked like on one leg he shot that three. I thought it was going in. I don't know about you. I was like, this son of a bitch is going to hit the shot right now. And then, of course, they got the rebound and gave it. It's like the game, that last 10 minutes, where last 10 seconds was an hour and a half of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But it was awesome. Good for the Knicks, up 2-0. This series is not over. This is a good matchup. This is the Knicks, and I don't know. I guess Embiid was hurt, and that's why they were the seventh seed. But this is a good matchup. This series is by far from over.
Well, I mean, Embiid went on record last night and said they're going to win it anyway. So
yeah,
go ahead, go win 4 out of 5. Go nuts. See what you can do.
You know what though? I'm telling you, the way the games are, I wouldn't be shocked at all. I think at one game at a time. I think these teams match up well.
And the issue. The issue is for the Sixers is that they only have their two players that are showing out. I mean, like, they scored 100 points last night, and 70 of them came from Embiid and Maxey. So it's right. Like, where's the rest of the support for those guys?
That's one thing I would want to talk about in terms of my Knicks. Listen, I've been a Knicks fan a long time, and in the past, especially the Ewing era, I guess, Ewing always got his 25 points a game, and then for a little bit, Starks was like that second guy for a little short period of time, not that long. This year's team, the odd thing to me is they have Knicks have way more weapons than they usually have.
They're However, deep. They're very
none
deep.
Of the weapons, none of them are great players. But I feel like we got like a large gun on the table, and that's Brunson. And instead of having like another, there's like seven more guns laid out, and they're all just like little 22 calibers, little pistols that can all kill you. So like I was watching a game last night, all of a sudden Bogdanovich hit a three, and I'm like, I forgot about this guy. He's been in the league 11 years.
Smooth.
And meanwhile, he looks like a guy selling carpets on Route 17. And then you got like, then there's Hartenstein, and then Deuce McBride, who all of a sudden you're like, hey, you know what? If you're going to beat the Knicks, and the Knicks are very beatable, they're not the best team in the league, and the Celtics are still there, you got to, like, other guys can step up and easily drop 12 or 15 on you, and the Knicks never had that. Because I think coaches in the NBA, like, guys like Randall and Brunson, if you want to shut them down, you can. But that means, like, they were leaving game one, they left Hart open, wide open, all game, and they got burned by it. But last night, at the beginning of the game, they were leaving Hart open, and he wasn't hitting his shots. So, in other words, you can shut down one guy. A coach is and just the NBA, man. Like, if anybody watching college basketball, by the way, like, and you think some guy, like, oh, my God, he may make the NBA. No. There's only 300 of these guys, and they're all fast and very good. Like, it's just – it's amazing how good some of these NBA players are. And but the Knicks have all these little options. And Bogdanovich checks in the game. You know, he comes in, he looks like a slob. And all of a sudden, he's hitting threes. Like, you know, I just think the Knicks, I don't think they can really win the whole thing. I just don't. But I tell you what, they can be a huge pain in the ass. And they'll be a pain in the ass for the rest of this series and the next series and the series after that. I just think the Knicks are going to be like down by four with 2 minutes left in every game, even when they're getting blown out. I just don't think they're going to go away. I could be wrong. And Thibodeau has that. And it's a nice – I'm looking forward to the rest of these basketball games. It's fun, and that's it. So my Knicks, God bless, up 2-0. Rangers tonight up 1-0. I'm a playoff Ranger fan. I know only three hockey players, and one of them is like, you know, Nick Fatiu and Ron Duguay, and they haven't played in 40 years. I watch the games, and what I do is – this is the kind of Ranger fan I am. I watch the games, and I hope that when the Ranger guy shoots towards the net, it goes in. And then,
is that the goal?
I don't want to hear about the third. Listen, go to WFAN if you want to hear about the Rangers' third line. I'm getting comments on LinkedIn, but they're not showing up on my chat. Are you getting anything?
I'm not seeing them on the chat, no.
Yeah, so we're not setting this up right, but we will comments. Wait, maybe I did. Oh, there they are, Shay. Dying Breed Garage, and of course
I'm not seeing any of those. I don't know what you're talking about.
You gotta click on comments, not private chat.
I'm in comments. I see nothing, but all right, I'll take your word for it.
All right, so. I see them on mine, but it doesn't matter. Well, bottom line is the Rangers are up 1-0, but playoff hockey is tough. It's awesome. These series are never over till they're over. And also, I want to talk about the Laker game last night briefly. I'll tell you something. I can't stand LeBron James, but I hate him because he didn't come to the Knicks. So I admit it. But I'm gonna put a silence to this whole thing. The argument that he's not the GOAT. I'm sorry, he's 59 years old, and at the end of the game, he was the best player on the court. He was hitting threes all over the place, blocking shots, stealing the ball, making great passes.
You know what ruins LeBron is LeBron. And
I get on the court and he's listen. I can't.
He's like, he walked off on a press conference. Like, that's bitch stuff. Like, okay. Stop doing it. You're supposed to be the face of the league. Man up and understand that not everything is going to go your way. And like, I don't understand, man.
I agree with you. However, I'm aging. LeBron comes to the Knicks next year. I'm done.
It's over. The Knicks dream of that is over. That's not happening.
Aging LeBron, because by the way, he's still the best player in the league when he wants to be. And Anthony Davis, I mean, I still think the Lakers go win the whole damn thing. But
they're down 2-0, Jimmy. They're down 2-0. They're done.
Okay. By the way, but see, this is why I'm going to educate you.
No, they've lost the last 10 straight against Denver. 10.
When's the last time you went to Denver? You can't breathe there, okay? Okay, so if I was the announcer, I'm like, Lakers struggling here 2 minutes ago. No one can breathe. And when they can breathe here, the Lakers breathing very well due to oxygen levels here in Los Angeles. I don't know. I just think LeBron was dominating the game. I'm like, this guy's so old and he's dominating. And I hate him. The guy hit that buzzer beater. It was awesome. But I got to give a shout out to LeBron. He's the greatest of all time. I don't want to hear it. It's the way it is. Anyway, Yankees. Good thing about the Yankees is I got to talk to Kyle about the over and under on shutouts. There's been, 23 games?
They've been shut out four times already.
Four times. It's April. And their shutouts, it's not like, one thing about the Yankees, when they're getting shut out, there's nobody like leading off third and the fifth. It's like no one gets to second base for hours on end. Judge stinks this year. No other way to do it. He stinks. He'll come around, but he stinks. Stanton is just batting .235. We still got five ding dongs. They need LeMahieu back, but you know, what are we getting back? He hasn't hit in 2 years. But more importantly, we did not cover it last week. And everybody knows from Beer League and Game Day, my favorite announcer of all time. I call Janine Michaud, our sponsor. I call her Jay Bird because Jay Johnstone used to be in the booth with John Sterling and he called him Jay Bird, which I think is still hysterical. John Sterling retired. I love the way he did it. He should have done it in March, but he didn't. He came back for a couple games. And I love when the media tried to, let's try to get John Sterling to say something. And he was like, no, I'm 85. I tried to come back. I flew to Houston and I was just in an airport. So I could say right now, it's a pain in the ass to fly and get on the board and to take your shoes off and your belt off and all that stupid shit. And he's 85 years old. He's been doing games since 1960. So when my parents were married, okay, John Sterling was doing games. It's 1960. It's 2024. And he's like, I don't want to go anywhere anymore. All I want to do is sit on my couch and watch. He said, I got 15 TVs. I want to watch sports and relax and then die.
Gamble. And
I thought he was very funny, but he has so many. Forget about the it is high, it is far, and the names and all that. An A-bomb for A-Rod and Robbie Cano. What do you know? That stuff is great. But it was his banter. There's nothing better than listening when you have a long car ride, especially you're by yourself or the kids are sleeping and the Yankees are down 8-1 and you still got in the sixth inning and you still got an hour drive in your car. And you listen to John Sterling and Susan Wolman try to make entertaining radio. It is so funny to hear them. They start talking about Broadway shows. And then right in the middle, they just go low. The pitch is like a low pitch. And then he was just great. At the end there, he couldn't see the ball that well, probably, and he made mistakes. I didn't care. It's just not going to be the same with him in the booth. His voice. I mean, John Sterling, this is unbelievable. He did every one of Derek Jeter's at-bats and every one of Mariano's games. I mean, think about that for a second.
Is that true, though? Is that true? Like, he never missed one Jeter game?
Every game. Here's Jeter. I mean, think about it. Like if Jeter has a communion party for his kids, they would invite John Sterling over. Why? Well, because he announced every one of my at-bats. I mean, like,
that's Bob Shepard,
of course, announced, he's legendary as well, the PA guy. Your attention, please. All that stuff. But, like, John Sterling and all the Yankeeographies, I mean, like, it's just, of course, the Yankeeography started to get a little, like, the guy got, Bobby Brown, the guy just did a lot. But I still, John Sterling, we did a scene, and if you go to the short Game Day we did, which is, if you Google Game Day and Artie Lang, but one of the opening scenes is me doing John Sterling, like, you can trade a Jesse because Barfield was on the trading. he just went, you can trade a Jesse Barfield, but he just threw a bullet to Mike Paliarulo. And then I love it early on when they did the ads in between the pitches. They don't do it as much anymore. They still do a little bit. Driven by Jeep. I mean,
that's right before every commercial.
Yeah, and now it's like driven.
But now it's driven by the hybrid Jeep with electric.
I swear to God, listen, if the president of Jeep is listening to this, driven by Jeep was much better than driven by the hybrid electrical version of the asshole car. It's so stupid. But I used to love what he would say. The Yankees are thirsty for runs. Speaking of thirst, why not try the cool taste of stuff? Made from the best of water. Then he'd be like, the old one is low.
That's how you know you're a pro's pro, man. You're a pro's pro when you can pull that shit off.
Oh, I used to imitate him. Like, I would imitate him walking like down the street in New York and something like, why is that guy walking aimlessly doing John Sterling? I don't even do a good John Sterling, but I knew his beats. Well, you know, Susan, I mean, it was just so, and the way
that's a t-shirt now. That's baseball, Susan.
Oh, it's so, and then, you know, and then they would do Waldman talks for the last 10 minutes of the pregame. And then he just goes, now I'd like to turn it over to the voice of the Yankees, John Sterling. And it would either be, well, Susan, I thank you, or Susan, I thank you. And then he would go into his thing. And it was just, he just was the best. Some people couldn't stand him, but you know what? Which brings me to Susan Waldman. Now, nobody.
She's got to go. She can't do it. Come on.
I don't agree. And I'll tell you why. Listen, this lady has been covering the Yankees for a long time. Here we go with the joke. Favorite part of the show. during the Susan Waldman segment, you drink the water. I couldn't stand this lady. But let me tell you.
Terrible.
She knows everything about the Yankees. She knows about the clubhouse. She knows about the demeanor. What she doesn't do is bash a player, but she will say, like, she has her way of letting you know if she thinks someone sucks. And I just, I'm starting to like Susan Waldman, too. Because when she's gone, it's going to be all cookie cutter, awful announcers like every other team has. And I miss the Mad Dog, John Sterling, these people that shouldn't be doing what they do for a living, and yet they do.
They're 100 now, Jimmy. It's over.
Bob Shepard had a moment, where just this guy. Anyway, John Sterling, love you, and you're the best. And I'm running out of breath. Of course.
That's podcasting, Jimmy.
You know that's podcasting. The old one is low. Speaking of thirst, why not try the cool taste of Snapple? I think Snapple's going to be my new. I'm just going to do. I'm sure you got sponsored by Snapple. No, I'm just doing John's. Like in between, like if you're making a comment about, if you're talking about the Cowboys, I'm just going to go, made from the best snuff on it. cornholelevel.com. That's right. Your friend and mine, Mike Caprio, sponsoring here. Listen, Dave, you've been struggling with your cornhole for years. Your wife texts me all the time and says, hey, my wife, listen, Dave's cornhole. Of course, Chris Gucci, his cornhole was so crazy, he no longer is on the show. And but listen, you go to cornholelevel.com. If you got your board in the backyard, if you're into this, and ESPN had live championships on the other day, which that cracks me up. You just hook it on here, move this thing around. Next thing you know, that thing's in the middle. Perfect cornhole day here at Shea. Cornholelevel.com. Mention the show, JP Show. Get 20% off your entire order. This is great for the kids, and it's a great product. Check it out. I'm not kidding. This thing works, and it's cool. Cornholelevel.com. All right, well, I was in Florida for 5 days. Crazy thing was, I was in Florida and Sarasota area. First thing, flying is such a pain in the ass. When you get up to the Newark Airport is the most, at least, what do you call it? Gate A is now redone. And, you can walk around. There's like normal shops there because, you know, the other gates are like embarrassing. But you got to take your clothes off, your shoes off, your belt off. Everybody's not friendly. It's miserable. It's just like, oh my. You're better off just going in there naked and getting arrested, and they'll still put you on the flight. We went down to Sarasota, and the funny thing is when you land in Sarasota Airport, okay, let me explain to people scoring at home. People that live, that fly out of Sarasota can't comment on the state of airports in America. Why? Because Sarasota Airport to me is Linden Airport. It's like four planes there. It's like six gates. And you walk in, it's like, it's literally, it's like, you know what? It's like going to the, I don't know. It's like going to Riffy's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday. You stroll in there. There's no like security's like, yeah, you're good, you're good. They don't let you. It's like this is not the metropolis. Again, Florida hasn't figured it out better, I guess. But we had a good time. We were on the Gulf there on the West Coast. But a couple of crazy things happened. Number one, one of my favorite guitar and one of the greatest guitar players of all time, Dickie Betts, passed away at 80 years old. He was a guitarist with the Allman Brothers. He wrote songs that even you know, Dave. Songs like Ramblin' Man and the instrumental Jessica and Blue Sky. And a ton of other songs by the Allmans, especially on Brothers and Sisters album. He was one of the dual leads with Dwayne, and Dickie were a major part of rock and roll, and so many bands copied them. And he passed away, but we were in Sarasota, so we decided to like we got his address from online, and excuse me, and we ended up driving to his estate in Sarasota, which was cool. And there was a someone left like a little thing of flowers, so I knew we were at the gates were open. As a matter of fact, one of the last photos of him, it's on his back porch, which we looked into, and I had to pay homage to the great Dickie Betts, which was nuts. But so to all my Allman Brothers fans out there, which everybody knows I'm a huge fan, that's a major loss. There's only one guy left, J-Mo, and that's it. So
are you familiar with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame
in Cleveland?
Like, yeah, I mean, like, are you familiar with the members, like who's in, who's out?
No, not really, because now they're letting people, you know, Whitney Houston.
Well, I was kind of taken back. Like me and my wife were big in the American Idol scene. You know, it's the one thing that you know I have to do. You know, I can't do sports every night. I have to watch one show at least. So we settled on American Idol, and they're like they released the other day. Like here are the new class of the you know Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they're like. Ozzy Osbourne. And I was like, wait, like, how is Ozzy Osbourne not in it already? And then, like, they mentioned a couple other people, and I'm just like, wait. Like, I don't know. Like, again, I'm not too familiar with it.
Obviously, Ozzy part of the band. And then
Black Sabbath?
Now they're putting him in as an individual.
Maybe. I don't know. It was just weird to me. I was like, how is he not in already?
Some guys go in as the band. Some go in as an individual.
But
no, listen, it's nothing more. I heard the museum is cool. But it's literally like a PR marketing campaign. Like Britney Spears will be in there someday, and you know, Billie Eilish will probably be in someday. Which anybody listens to Billie Eilish, we want to know why there's suicides in America. Just listen to Jesus Christ. Say my creepy brother wrote this song on that show. I swear to God, my border puts that stuff on. I'm like, turn it off. I'm ready to like, you know, pop seven Zolofts when I live. That song, that music makes no sense to me. But anyway, down in Florida here, Jay. So at the resort, you're going to left. There was these two women there, they were about 45 years old-ish. One had red hair. They were big right-handers out of Texas. They had bathing suits on. They were older, but they were like all throwing in the high 90s, consistent, not a lot of sweat. And I happened to just, they caught my eye sitting at the bar. I ordered a margarita. And I looked, I was like, look, those two big right-handers over there. So later on, I was waiting for my daughter, and they were sitting in another section. And this one girl had like this really pretty red hair. So she stuck out. And I, all of a sudden, I see her friend gets up from the table, and she comes walking around, and there was like a low knee wall. All of a sudden, dude, she caught the knee wall and she fell almost on my feet. But I never saw anybody fall like this. She fell flat on her face. Bang. Like it made that awful like meat sound on you know what I mean? Like it was like bang. And I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. And she was face down, not moving. I'm talking about her legs were like flipped sideways. And she was, I mean, this was down goes Frazier, right? I went, hey, hey, lady. And I just rubbed her back. I said, hey, you okay? Can you get up? And all of a sudden, there was no movement at all. Like I was like, and then like I was there first. Then the bartender came running over. And he's like, lady, you okay? And all of a sudden, another guy comes over. He's like, hey, is she even breathing? And I was like, I don't know. I thought she was dead.
Did they ask if you tripped her or something?
I said she hit the knee wall, and then the guy puts his finger on her neck there, you know, getting the pulse. And he's like, well, she's got a pulse. And then she started to go like, I'm thinking, oh, my God. She's like, she's blown out of her shoes. She's going to die right. I look over, and I see the big right-hander, her friend, the redhead, is still sitting at the table on her phone 15 feet away, had no idea what just happened. So I said, hey, I think that's her friend. So I go over and I tap her on the shoulder. I said, hey, did you have a friend that was just sitting here? She goes, yeah, my sister-in-law. I go, well, she fell. And she doesn't have any timeouts left. I was like, she definitely wanted to talk it over. And so she jumps up, oh my God. Then she starts screaming. They rolled this lady over, and I saw eyes go all over the place. She was still breathing. I was having.
Oh my God.
She had a boxing gash on her forehead, one of those like you see in a horror film, like 4 inches long and deep, where you could see, like, I was like, and so they get her settled, and she's like, oh, where am I? She didn't know where she was. They call 911. And so she's like, oh, and her friend, sister-in-law is like, you're okay. And she's like, oh, my head hurts, you know. And then she goes, you think I'm going to need stitches? Now, I wanted to go like, stitches? Like, you need to talk it over right now. Because like, the sister-in-law is like, well, not really. Well, then she gets get to the emergency. She was like, yeah, honey, you're going to need stitches. I mean, you're going to need like those like metal kind at first, you know. So they ended up getting her up, and then I wanted to make sure, because she was never right. She just never, she was in and out of consciousness, I guess. But they finally got her out of there on a stretcher. And the next day I asked the bartender, I said, hey, what happened to that lady? You know, she got shot. And he's like, no, they're okay. She's here. She's got a big patch on her face. She's got to go back home and get stitches and all that, and better stitches. And I saw him on the beach, and they're like, there's the guy. There's the guy that helped us. You know, all of a sudden, I was like, my Marcus Welby, MD. I'm like, hey, I just wanted to make sure. I can't believe I just said Marcus Welby. I said, if anybody even gets that joke, oh, my God, your parents.
Venditti right off the road.
Just go off the road like a young Mannix. The she ended up being okay. But that was first trauma of the week. The other thing was we went jet skiing. And I had my daughter on my jet ski, and her friend and Stephanie were on another one. First of all, we did it last year or 2 years ago in Naples. We were actually out on the Gulf, and you go up and down the coast. You could crank the thing up, do 60 miles an hour. There's nothing. We ended up in these bay areas because we were on a key. First of all, I needed 4 timeouts because there's like – stay between the red sign and the green sign. And there was these posts coming up. My daughter's like, daddy, crank it up. And I'm like, oh, hang on a second. Let me get my bearings here. So I would crank it up. And then all of a sudden there were signs. You can't do 25 miles an hour. There were big boats that would come flying by. And like, they didn't care about us. I'm like, she goes, daddy, how come you're slowing down? I'm like, there's a boat right there. Like a boat wins. We hit the boat, we lose. And then I saw the couple in front of us. They were in the water. Their jet ski flipped over. I was like, no, we cannot flip over. That I'm like, Natalie, you have to hold on to me because I can't even, she's so light, she'd fly off the back and probably get caught in the blades or something. I was a mess behind the helm. But of course we won all the races and we were firing all around. But jet skiing is a lot of fun, man. There's no doubt about it.
Oh yeah.
Then I noticed, you know, first of all, I had to stop at the liquor store and get some booze, you know, for the week. Wasn't gonna do this sober. And I realized, well, I think I drink more at home than on vacation. It's like, I bought like 7 different products. I got wine, Bloody Marys. I bought all this shit. I'm like, I think I drink more at home. You know, 11 o'clock at night, binging on Netflix, sucking
with down. With the Knicks game?
Yeah, you know, but it was fun. Then I gained 5 pounds. I ate like a pig. Of course, my daughter's like, daddy, there's a guy with a Rutgers hat on. And I'm like, all right, there's a guy with a Rutgers hat at the place. Next thing you know, I see him. And of course, we immediately get into a conversation about Rutgers basketball, Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey. He's a season ticket holder.
Winsack.
I ask him where he sits. And he's like, oh, I'm in between the baseline and the free throw line. I'm like, that's where I sit. Turns out he sits one row ahead of me, 2 seats over. Like, we go to the games together. He was like, And he was just like me. He was excited. Yeah, he thinks Wimsatt stinks. He was going through all the different things.
So you met your match.
A bunch of bitter Rutgers fans. He goes, I know we're not allowed to celebrate Harper and Bailey because we know they're going to. I think if like Jordan and LeBron came to Rutgers, they would only average like 7 points a game. It's something you come to Rutgers and you just suck. I don't know. Like, why can't we one time get these great players and dominate? The other thing I did down in Sarasota, I went to the Ringling Brothers Museum, which, okay. Now, I know this is a classic at-shame moment. What are you, right? But take the jug. And that we should give out jugs.
You sign them? You just sign them. Sign them, JP.
Dave and Jimmy will sign your water jug.
If you it's water it. Jug day here, Shay. It's
water jug day here. Or if you say something stupid, you get the water jug. All right, we're creating moments here.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, everybody knows Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus, but it used to be just the Ringling Brothers, and there was five of them, and they formed this circus, which back then was like, you know, the internet for everyone else from 1880 up to like 1930. The circuses mm-hmm. came to town. Everybody took off. Schools were out, blah, blah, blah. And this guy basically bought all the land in Florida near Sarasota, built himself a big estate, but mostly because that's where he had to keep the farm animals in the winter because all these farm animals are freezing their balls off in Minnesota. You got to bring them back down to Florida. And I was blown away by something there. And I have to mention it. Is the some guy for like 50 years started doing a 3/4 scale model of a Ringling Brothers circus with the tents mm-hmm. and the trains and the animals for 50 years. This guy's hand carving little thing. And midway through, he called up Ringling Brothers and said, hey, do you mind if I use your name on my thing? And they're like, no, you can't. He's like, yeah, but I'm creating a 3/4 inch scale of your entire circus in the 30s. I'm working on it for 17 years. Nah, you can't. Nah, it's his last name is Howard. So he called it the Howard Brothers Circus. So I walked in. First, they're like, oh, yeah, check out this miniature scale thing. I thought it was going to be boring as hell. Dude, what this guy did by hand, I don't even know. I never saw anything like it. He set up on this huge 40-yard area. It seemed like that way to me. An entire circus that you look through a glass window and look. The guy, and he did this all in his basement for years and years. I could just see his wife. Honey, you coming up for dinner? Hang on, I'm working on a lion. I mean, like, what? What? Like,
yeah, I'm waiting for the trapeze on paint to dry.
Like, you know, our wives give it. Your wife gives you shit for watching the end of a Ranger game on a Monday night. The kids got to get in the bath, and this guy's out there, you know, working on a trapeze. It's like, and then the Ringling Brothers like said, nah, that's great you're doing that. And then all of a sudden at the World's Fair like 20 years ago, he brought it there. They were like, dude, we got to put this out. And now it's part of the permanent exhibit. And it is like cool to see. Plus they had all kinds of explaining to you how the circuses used to work. I mean, I was like, it's really wild that all these trains, like they had to move from town to town. And somebody had to set the tents up, take them down, put them on a train, I mean, it was like building a city in 24 hours with lions and elephants. And then the lady and three-legged Sam. And this is, there's not enough timeouts. I would have been calling a timeout. Like, well, what tent we put up? Then they served 3,500 meals a day to the people working at the thing. Like 1,300 people got to eat lunch. It's like so you had chefs back there cooking burgers and dogs for these people. Oh my God. I thought it was a cool exhibit to go see. Totally worth it. You learn about how the circus in America, and then they merged with Ringling, merged with Barnum and Bailey and all this different crap because they died. Barnum and Bailey guy died and Ringling wanted to talk it up. And there's a movie, the Ringling Brothers movie there is totally worth it to see. Anyway, that was excellent in Florida. I loved it. I gained 5 pounds. I have been losing weight. And then I just got there, and for some reason, I was eating cheese and bread and sandwiches and drinking various different margaritas poolside, you know. Bottom line is, look, you know, I'm a fat bastard now, Shay. So that was it. Florida was awesome, which, of course, Jeanine Machaud and Craig Machaud are the owners of, who are they the owners of, Dave?
Absolute Eyewear getting involved here.
Absolute Eyewear getting involved here at Shea. 42 Main Street, Woodbridge, New Jersey, 732-326-3937. Go down to the train station. They are there for sure. Family-owned, brother and sister, licensed optician. Craig was my right center fielder for Corona Construction for many years. Full service, prescription eyewear, sunglasses, safety glasses, sport glasses, glasses for the kids, contacts, eye exams, all done on site there. And, of course, your attention, please. All rise. Now available at Absolute Eyewear, Ray-Ban, Coach Ralph Lauren, Dave Sturcio's Jimmy Choo, Silhouette, Michael Kors Light, Vogue, Maui Jim, Costa Del Mar, and Charles Oakley's kids hang out there. No, Charles Oakley's kids do not hang out there, but they have glasses from Charles Oakley for three. There he is. Dave couldn't wait to put that up. A young Charles Oakley.
On the fly.
Discounts for seniors, AAA, AARP, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, $100 off a complete pair. If you mention the Jimmy Plumbo Show, Chop Sports, Dave Sturcio, Chris Gucci, you get $105 off if you know where Chris Gucci is. Gucci gets thrown under the bus. I love it.
He really does. He's a good sport because he doesn't listen, so he doesn't know.
He didn't listen to the show when he was on the show. So someone says, oh, Dave does a pretty good job. I'm like, yeah, because he's listening to me. Chris would be sitting there not listening. I'm like, Chris, hello, Packers lost. Yeah, yeah. What's up, Jimmy? Oh, you're doing my show. Okay. No, that's not true. I'm busting Chris's balls. I love Chris. Open 5 days a week. Go check him out. Absolute Eyewear getting involved here from the Omni in Atlanta. Now, you were, before we get into the later part of the show, you were a little, I'm not sure what you want to talk about, but you were a little, you were not exactly a happy camper, and you were basing your happiness on the Knicks and Rangers. Now, you got it because they won three games between the two of them. But I don't know. Is this something you want to talk about on the air? Or,
it's like not so much a dead thing now, but it's like, you know, I've been busting my ass. Me, Chris Payne, Tommy D, you know, we're trying to put on this show in July, and the tickets are moving really well. WarOnTheShore.Eventbrite.com for tickets. It's the pro wrestling event of the summer.
What they're doing is, in case anybody doesn't know, that Dave and his partners are putting on a huge wrestling show down at the Tiki Bar with a tent and a ring and front row seats and back row seats and drinking and fun.
It's going to be a great time. I can't wait. We're booking some really heavy hitting talent. Over the weekend, I woke up to a morning to a message from one of my, I guess you can call him like a mentor. He's an old time promoter. He's like, can you believe this shit? And I was like, what? And I had a look squinty eyed. I was just waking up. And I realized that there was another company that was trying to do the same thing, literally ripped our entire idea by putting a show on the beach down at Seaside, which, by the way, you know, if you want to track down the Seaside and see those slums, go for it. I was just like, I was bent about it. I was like, man, like, we're putting all this effort into this, and then somebody with the deeper pockets is able to just get a show on a Saturday in June while we had to settle for a Tuesday in July. But after talking to a lot of people, specifically you too, you know, well, we know when the Shore is popping, and it's really not popping until July anyway. So I'm not really worried about, worried about audience taking a hit. We've already sold out the front two rows, so we're good to go.
I think, listen, I don't know about the other show, nor do I care. I think I told you, listen, you just do a kick-ass show. I think you're going to be there, what, a week after 4th of July. That is prime time. Even if you want to rent a house down the Shore, it costs you more those in that period, because that's when everybody takes off, because you take advantage of the 4th of July day off and stuff. Yeah. And that's just the shore is, you know, the garden right now, you know, and you put on a good show, you're going to have people like the Tiki Bar in that area is got people there without a show, just drinking, hanging out, listening to music. So the fact that you're going to have a wrestling thing, I think you're going to do just fine. It's at a much better time. I think it's better than it's during the week. I really do. People down there, oh, there's a wrestling show, and you go up with their kids and kids love wrestling and stuff like that. I, of course, know nothing about it, but I will be there for sure, busting your balls. I'm going to be down in Atlantic City with my daughter doing her in the national and the dance thing. And so I'm going to come and check this all out, and we'll have some fun with that.
Yeah.
I think you should go to the show in June and pass out flyers. And
just completely just take over? Yeah.
No, just give out flyers saying, hey, don't be negative. Just be like, hey, there's another big one, you know, big event.
Yeah, I'll probably send a couple minions down there and try to do some dirty work. You know, I'm not mean particular. I don't want to be on the forefront of that. And then people, believe it or not, Jimmy, that's frowned upon in the world of independent professional wrestling. When you flyer another person's show, people get a little butthurt about that. So it's like, if I didn't do it, you know, people just have a stack of my flyers. I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. We'll see.
Well, listen, it's also not cool to put a show on.
No shit. No shit. Yeah.
So, you know, listen, you know, I comedy shows, people go, I get it. But you know what? Listen, I say, let everybody know about your show. Just do a killer show. And
yeah.
Actually, you know what? I got to get you on. I'm going to get you on Steve Travolese's show.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that'd be great.
It's just one negative. It's not so bad for you. It's way down by Trenton. It's a little bit of a ride. And Susie Monday, he doesn't have an official show, but I'll see if I can get you on.
Yeah.
I'll promote the show through that.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be cool. Well, in other news, of course, big news. Matter of fact, we might have to go to the archives of the Jimmy Palumbo Show, because this Sunday, softball is back here, and Ramsey, I am back playing with the Potbellies. And last year, I started to swing the bat a little bit, and that's on Sunday, so I'll be making my return. I might have a pickle tournament in the morning. And then, which I got smoked last time, so I have to make a comeback there. And although I'm playing, you know what's great? We're playing in a better league in this pickleball thing, and everybody's like, no, we're going to do okay. And I'm like, no, these people are better than us. So, like, but isn't that more fun than playing someone you're way better than? You know what I mean? Like a different.
Yeah, I'm all for competition. Like, you don't want to just.
Competition. And you get fired up, you're more focused. It's great. And then softball down at the Finch Park there in Ramsey. It should be fun. I don't even know what my glove is. Last time I touched it, we were shooting beer league, which I'm having a big meeting tonight with Tom at 624 Productions. We are just finishing editing the Ten Commandments, otherwise known as a 20-minute pilot for beer league, which was started in,
amazing,
shot in October. It is mid-April here today. And we're going to have a big meeting going over some final edits. And I'm hoping within 2 weeks, the pilot will be done. Or maybe 3 weeks. I'm hoping by Labor Day, actually, you know what? By the Christmas holidays, we should be done with the whole thing. And also, on May 11th, you know, we didn't talk about this much. May 11th, the 5K.
It's coming up, Jimmy. You ready?
This week, I've done a little jogging, a little walking around. I did a little bit in Florida. I have to officially get going here to get prepared to do my under 31 minutes. Kyle, we need to get Kyle on the line to find out what the over and under is. I walked the 5K and I did it in 60 minutes. I'm walking slowly. And I did once finish under 31. So basically, you can bet anywhere between 31 and 60 minutes. Okay. Those of you who say I'm not going to finish, you're out of your mind. I totally will finish. Unless barring injury, my heel, which is always causing a problem. But another funny thing happened. So I go, I forgot about this. So at the airport, I see a guy's wearing a Ranger shirt, right? And we're sitting there getting ready to land, you know, get on a flight to go down to Florida. And I said, go Rangers, man. He goes, yeah, it's cool. And then he looks down and he goes, I'm wearing my Skechers. And he's like, Skechers, that's cool. And I'm like, what a creep. Nobody looks at that. This guy's wearing a Rangers shirt. And I'm like, I go Rangers. And now all of a sudden, like, he's like looking at my footwear. Like, what a, right? And then I'm like, yeah, I got Skechers, you know, like, and what's your problem?
What do you think? What are you, a fucking podiatrist? What's wrong with you?
You know what? I wanted to talk it over. And all of a sudden he goes, well, I work for Skechers. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So immediately I went into, I'm getting some freebies here, you know? So all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, what's going on? I said, I played pickleball. He goes, well, I'm going to the U.S. Open down at down in Naples. And the big, huge pickle tournament. All the stars are there. He goes, yeah, Skechers is really getting involved with pickleball on a national level. We got all kinds of things. I'm like, yeah, I'm wearing these. He goes, yeah, I know exactly what you're wearing. He knew, like, the model number and everything. I'm like, that's cool. I was like, well, you know, hook a brother up, you know. And he gives me this VIP card and 50% off my next order, but only online, whatever. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So he's explaining to me the different products they have. And all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, as an actor. And I said, actor. He's like, he goes, you look familiar, man. I was like, ah, I'm a character actor. No one really knows who I am. And all of a sudden, I was like, well, I was in a movie. What, Beer League? Dude, his world came to a complete halt. He's like, no way. You're Johnny Trino. He starts reciting lines. He knew the 70. I wasn't wearing the 706 hat. He knew the 706 hat. He's like, oh, my God. He goes, I coached at Rutgers baseball for years. He goes, we watched that on our bus. That was part of the, like, every bus trip we put Beer League on. He starts talking about Artie, lines from the movie. He literally is texting his boss and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, well, listen, we start shooting more Beer League stuff sponsored by Skechers. He's like, totally all in. He goes, I'll make sure every one of you guys has sneakers. I'm going, I don't know. He was being very kind. So that was very cool to meet a fan of Beer League. And also, he said he'll be back in town on Tuesday. We're gonna talk it over. Hopefully, I'll be wearing some new sneakers. And I told him I'd talk about it on the show. But then he told me I can't really. I said, come on the show, bust my balls. He goes, they get mad when you mix, you know, personal with the product and all that crap.
Right.
Well, I'll talk about Skechers, which are my favorite sneaker. So I thought that was cool. Now, what else we got here? Oh, don't forget Pine Tar Bar and Grill. My buddy Tommy's bar has been rocking with Ranger and Nick Van. So go to, it's at 121 South Main Street in Forked River. And it's 609-489-4286. I think it's one of the best sports bars in the country here at Shea. Tons of TVs. He's got all the, even when the games are on apps and stuff, he makes sure they get them. He's got phones set up, hooked up. He's a real jerk off about that. Also, my dear friend Lisa Ruane, who's a therapist, 201-725-1251. Give her a call. If you're struggling with stuff in life, give her a call. She's great. She'll either help you out or tell you where to get help. You know, we can lead you to water, but you don't always drink the water. But at least we can get some help, try to make you not do anything stupid. So that's it. Pine Tar Bar and Grill and Lisa Ruane. A shout out to my friend, Father Paul, who Dave, of course, knows. Big shout out to him. He's been helping me out with a friend. And he's been really, really wonderful in getting that person trying to get him help and see the good side of life, especially with the family. So shout out to Father Paul getting involved. And that's it. This weekend, we got tons of Knick games and Ranger games. Why are you looking at me like that, Dave?
Oh, I don't know, because maybe before we get out of here, you can tell us about the time you were on Law & Order SVU.
Oh, we forgot about that.
What the fuck? And you're like, all right, everybody. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. We're missing something here.
Okay, we did miss. All right, well, you know what? We'll spend a few minutes on it.
Yeah, a few minutes. Go ahead. So this week's Jimmy's credits, I looked up. Again, the ones that I get really excited about are the ones that he does like more than one episode of, which, again, shout out to all the one episode hitters that you have. I'm sure they were awesome. But as a repeat, SVU is one of them. You got to tell me if you, you know, what your experience was on that set, because it's one of the most popular shows basically ever.
Law & Order, listen, Law & Order and SVU have been great to me. I also did a third watch, chopped a base hit through there. I never did a Criminal Intent, but the Law & Orders were wild. The first one I booked, believe it or not, I played a cop, and it was the Julia Roberts episode, which was a big, big deal at the time. This major movie star was doing an episode because she was dating Brat, the actor Brat there at the time. And it was wild to me because I was a little now, I'd been in the league a while, a little bit. So I wasn't like, you know, I was at the end of the bench. So I, you know, played in all the stadium. I wasn't going to be intimidated by, you know, the big ball orchard in the Bronx. And we get to the set, we're shooting in a bar, and I play a cop who sees a guy stumble out of the bar and drop dead of a heart attack. Matter of fact, my line was, I think he had a garden variety heart attack. So we're there. Julia Roberts was dating that actor, Brat, and So the producer comes in and says, hey, guys, I know you've been reading the papers. Please don't say anything to Julia or anything about any gossip or anything. They announced that to, like, this whole extras and me. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. What do I care? Good luck. He's getting laid. She's getting laid. God bless, right? All of a sudden, he gets on the set, right? And there's a real cop on the set for security. I think his name was Benjamin, I think, if I'm not mistaken. He yells, you know, cops don't care about movie sets because they're the authority. It's still New York City. He's like, hey, how you doing? Listen, can't believe you. You're dating Julia Roberts, son of a bitch. I used to do security for her. And the whole room got quiet. This loud cop is, and of course, the producers can't say anything. He's a cop. And right. Going on, I was like, oh, my God. And then we get outside, and we have to do the scene with me and Jerry Orbach and everybody, four of us, not Julia Roberts, though. And so we're doing the scene, and I'm trying to do my lines. So Jerry Orbach looks at me, and he goes, hey, kid. He goes, take your back leg and rotate it a little bit, and your mother will thank me because you're going to get on the screen the whole time. So I did this little, like, counter turn, open myself up more to the camera, which usually I don't do. I just, you know, I'm never aware of the camera. I always want to just talk to the actor and make it real and let the camera catch me. But sometimes he's like, yeah, I'll give you a little hint. So we start shooting it. And then the director goes like, yeah, Jimmy, perfect, perfect. That's exactly where I want you. And Jerry Orbach's like, see, I told you, kid, now you're going to be in every shot. When you see this episode, he goes, ah, you've been doing this. I've been doing this for 20 years. After a while, you get a hang of things. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm getting notes from Jerry Orbach. And next thing you know, when the show aired, I'm completely, you know, all over it, which is great, even though I only had three lines. But then I'm in L.A. at the time. The show airs, right? It's going to air this week. I'm all excited. I pick up the L.A. Times Sunday edition. And you know they have that, like, things to do this week in L.A., like, the, you know, the entertainment thing that they shove in?
Sure, 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 yeah.
I still have this. I wish I had could hold it up. Maybe I'll do it next week. The cover of that, like, entertainment guide is on set with they did a thing on the producer Wolf, and you see me. I'm like 8 inches tall. It's like it really was Jimmy Palumbo talking it over. I was like, oh my God, I'm all over this. So that was exciting. Plus, when you're on Law and Order, you can be on these cool shows like Curb and all these places. Nobody really watches those. It takes you like 9 years to get recognized. You do a Law and Order and your phone, my Aunt Vicky, my Aunt Louise, everybody's calling me, Jimmy, Jimmy's on TV. Those shows are huge. But then I did another Law and Order where I was so thrilled I had to play a guy in the where they keep the old evidence. And that's like the loser job for cops. He probably got caught drinking on the job, so they shove him in this loser job. And that was my character. Perfect for it. And the best part about it is Jerry Orbach starts, we're missing evidence from this case and from a 25-year-old case. And I have to give shit. Now, of course, I forget the character's name Jerry Orbach played. But in my mind, I'm like, this is great. I'm giving Jerry Orbach shit. How great is it? And I totally, bust his balls back. But when we were sitting in the green room, okay, I met Angie Harmon. And she was dating the guy in the Giants, the secondary guy. What's that guy's name at the time? You know, the guy who got that big interception against the Vikings in the playoffs. Totally
Jason right. Seahorn?
Yeah. Okay. They were getting ready to get married. Let me tell you something.
I'm sick.
Angie Harmon, 31 points a game, 22 15 assists, no fouls. like the ref doesn't, you know what? The ref's not going to call a foul on Angie Harmon. She was so unbelievably beautiful, and she had this breathy voice, this dark black hair. I was like sitting there on this little couch, and from across the room was Jerry Orbach's private room, and she kept on walking by, and I was like totally caught, like my tongue was out. And then Jerry Orbach says, "Hey kid, get your tongue back in your mouth." She said, "Yeah," and I went like, "Oh no, no, I just." And so she walks away, and he goes, yeah, I did that too the first year she was on. And then afterwards, I said, I'm sorry. Angie Harmon is just, I don't think I've ever met. She's explosive. And nobody was talking about her at the time in terms of, I was like, hey, this girl can fuck Jason Seahorn. This girl can be so that was a wild experience. And then I did a Law and Order SVU at Mariska Hargitay, did a couple of those. And the weird thing about her was right when they yelled cut, she would be doing a scene and then they yell cut. And she would immediately look at someone and go like, hey, you know what? I got Nick tickets tonight. What's a good place to get sushi? Angie Harmon. That's her. That's not even a great thing. You got to get, I got to, this was a while back. So she was in her prime. Trust me. She was in the 10-year deal. And so I met Mariska there right after the yell cut. She would like start talking right away about something else. It was like kind of distracting. Like, that's weird. So I sat down next to the lady who makes sure that each line is read. And I'm like, wow, she's so great. What a pretty lady, sweet lady. She goes, oh, she's wonderful, you know. And she goes, you know, I go, it's weird. She just goes into like her life as soon as they yell cut. And she goes, well, she has to do that. Because in the beginning of that show, the storylines are so depressing. She took it home with her. Like, she couldn't get out of the hearing about rape and incest and the pedophilia. All week long, you're dealing with it. So the only way she just told the cast, or they came to an agreement where once they yell cut, you don't discuss the what you're doing. You immediately become yourself. Now, I could do that, but some actors must be freaked out by that, because she was like talking about sushi and where to go get a burger outside the garden, and then she would go right into character like, so what time did you see the body? Like, I was like, wait a minute, you're talking about sushi on 34th Street. Now we're back into the scene. I was like, but she couldn't have been sweeter. That was fun to do that. But the best booking I ever had was they passed a rule where you can't be on any of the Law and Order. It used to be like 17. And if you were on one of them within 3 months, you couldn't do that. They didn't want to have characters on different shows. You didn't know what the hell was going on. So I booked the Law and Order, and it was going to air like 2 months and 22 days later. And Dick Wolf said, nope, can't use them. Use somebody else. I was like, are you kidding me? So supposedly, I didn't know any of this. The director was like, oh, man, that actor, Jimmy Plummer, got fucked here. he was right for the role. You know? And it was a pretty big role, which would have been cool. And supposedly the guy said to somebody, I'm going to take care of that guy. I'm going to squeeze him in. So about a year later, I get a phone call. Jimmy, you're on hold for a Law and Order. And I'm like, I didn't audition for a Law and Order. And I'm the kind of actor where I got to, every one of my wins, I got to go 7 2/3. And I got 191 pitches. You know, we will go to the eighth. And next thing you know, I'm on set. And I'm like, wow, this is great. I'm getting paid good money. I'm on a set here. And this guy comes up to me and goes, hey, Jimmy, I'm the director. I'm like, oh, how you doing? He goes, I just wanted to get you back for what happened. I'm like, oh, yeah. He goes, yeah, I made a comment that, you know, this guy got screwed. So I just decided to cast you in this. Now, I was getting paid, I don't know, $2,000-$3,000 for the day, whatever the hell it was. And plus residual since then. Like, very casually, this guy put $10,000 in my pocket.
Nice.
It was the greatest thing ever. Plus, the scene was, I was in the beginning of the episode when there's banter and then you discover the body. Mm-hmm. Like, some guy delivers Chinese food and my wife's giving me shit in the scene because I ordered all the fattening stuff. And the next thing you know, when the guy leaves, there was an Asian guy leaving after he delivered the food. He sees a foot sticking out of the door. Then it's like, dun dun. You know,
the
music comes on. So, like, it's so funny. But, like, the girl in the scene was another one, at least 17 points a game. And her family owns that big, what's that big bakery? They have in the malls, not Sbarro. The one that's the French bakery. They have them in malls where they sell croissants. And I know you know what this is. They're all over the place. She's like, yeah, my family owns that. I'm like, ah. And why are you acting? I would just be sitting home doing nothing. You know, she had deep speed. You know, she goes, ah, it's crazy. I just got divorced. I was like, ah, thought me I was going to get it out back. Trying to hit a spiral away.
He'd start choking up. He'd start choking up on the bat.
Yeah, I could move the runners over, you know, and struck out on 3 pitches. But it's so funny, too. But of course, I was going to be like, hey, listen, I just worked with Angie Harmon. I tried to, like, counterbalance it. Like, yeah, I've been in the league with you, honey. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, 103 miles an hour. That'll do it. But that was a wild one to book because the guy gave me a freebie, you know. I also did an Third Watch was another one. No one talks about Third Watch. But I'll talk about Third Watch on another show. Something happened to me on there where I almost died. I'll leave it at that.
All right.
That's a good teaser for next week.
That's called a cliffhanger, ladies and gentlemen. A
cliffhanger. I'm sorry. We were supposed to do this earlier in the show, but me and Dave, first of all, the Knicks won 2 games, so excuse us for being out of sorts. Judge hasn't gotten a hit in a month. So we're a little, you know, we're a little shin god here from the Omni. And that's it. All right, brother. Let's go. So Knicks, now Knicks don't play when? Till August 10th? How does that work?
Yeah, yeah, it's Rangers tonight. Knicks, I believe, on no, it has to be Wednesday, right? No, Thursday. I think they actually take, you know, because the turnpike gets a little jammed up when you're going down to Philadelphia. So you got to like take an extra day or two. But I think it's Thursday during the draft, during the NFL draft is going to be the next game.
Oh, the Knicks are playing during the draft? That sucks.
Well, not for, well, for me, the Cowboys have a pick way back deep. So I'll probably see the pick. But for you, for the Giants, yeah, man, it's going to be neck and neck because the Giants are like the sixth or seventh pick.
You know what time the Knicks game starts? Is it even
probably started? 7th? Yeah, probably 7:30, like normal. Draft starts at 8, so.
Yeah, so the time the Giants might go to – yeah, you know what? Listen, tell me. First of all, if you're a Knicks fan, you just got to switch over for a little bit, catch your team's pick, and then – because there's nothing worse. The NFL draft.
That's what the phone's for, man.
I know. You love it, but I think the NFL draft is – I hate the whole production. There's people on stage singing and dancing. It's awful. It's an awful event.
Jimmy from the couch coming back at you.
It's folks. Awful. Just select the damn thing. And towards the end, by the way, I love in the eighth round or ninth, whatever, the sixth round. Like, and that Dallas Cowboys have a pick, and the pick is in. And it's some guy from, like, you know, Towson State. But at the beginning, if they make you use the full, what is it, 5 minutes? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And the guy's got to come out with the yellow suit on with his hat. Oh, nice guy. Look at how he's dressing. You know, just made millions of dollars.
This is coming from the guy who has red carpet events for bullshit movies that never make air. So, like, everybody has their moment in the sun.
I can be honest. I've only been to two red – the family and really – well, you're trying to tell me that, like, I mean – like Mick Wilson and Mick.
I was just talking about the industry in itself. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of.
You don't think the draft is obnoxious? Come on.
I think there's moments in the draft where you're like, all right, enough's enough. The only thing that really pisses me off about the draft nowadays is that the picks are in before they're in online. So, like, people are spoiling it and it makes me nuts. Like, so I have to, like, stay off my phone. They're like, oh, the Cowboys made this pick. And you're like, well, they still have 3 minutes left. So, how is that even possible? Next thing you know, hey, the pick is in and it's accurate. And it's like, so who's the jerk off? Who's the jerk off of league?
Yeah. First of all, I didn't know that. And what then right away, so yeah. You're basically admitting to me that the NFL draft is a shitty show because it's
well,
not.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, it's like I said, somehow, some way, there's always some goober that's like a mole in every system, and somebody's got the pick before the pick's announced. It's annoying.
Oh, that's so awful.
I know.
You know what I hate too? The next best available player is some tight end from Cincinnati. And that's never the choice. Like, once you get past
I think the easiest job in the history of mankind, I listen to a lot of, especially, you know, specifically my Cowboys guys, you know, who are analyzed players, blah, blah, blah. But the easiest job in the history of mankind, besides weatherman, is being like Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper's got the easiest job in the world because he works one day a year. Apparently, he works around the clock, but it's just like, so as soon as, like, oh, this is when the Giants are definitely going to take Jimmy Palumbo here. I guarantee it. It's a lock. It's a slam dunk. And the Giants select Chris Gucci. And he's like, you know what? I just don't agree with the pick. Let's move on. And that's it. Like, there's no accountability. It's just like you're wrong, and that's it.
You know what the New York Post did this week? I don't know if you saw it. They went over the last 5 years of the draft picks, all teams. Cowboys, I think, were like fifth. Picking good picks.
Oh, no, they slaughter the draft. They're just very, very quiet in free agency. Giants, they don't spend, like, any money.
Giants were like 20th. I love that because then it's like, you know what? Because you know what? We do this. This is our third draft doing the Jimmy Palumbo show. That
wild.
And the bottom line is you can talk about how good your selections are, but, like, you know.
It's all a crapshoot, man.
Especially, like, receivers or D-backs or – how about some offensive lineman? It's not till 4 years later when he's an all-pro. You're like, what? When did we get him? Oh, I forgot. We took him in the second round at him. I don't know what the Giants should do. I say they go for there's Neil Goldhaber. Curse of Reggie Miller broken. So true. Me and Neil went to a bunch of games back in the day. I would say the Giants. I think the Giants should take a wide receiver. I do.
Well, I think all signs pointing to the fact that they're officially giving up on Daniel Jones and they might draft their next franchise quarterback. So we'll see.
But do you think the sixth pick?
Somebody might fall. The kid from Michigan might fall there. McCarthy, you know, there's going to be some options for the Giants. If I'm the Giants, I might stockpile and start trading back a little bit and just, like, get some more draft picks and grab a guy in the first round, no matter what, but like grab an extra second or third from somebody who's trying to leap them.
Don't you think in today's world you can get a quarterback not via the draft?
No. Actually, it's the draft is like tailor-made for quarterbacks now, and it's not tailor-made for people like running backs. And your boy Pacheco has officially ruined all running back stock because it's we can find somebody like Pacheco in the seventh round. You know what I mean? It's like, great.
All you gotta do is watch NFL games, and the running backs are from nowhere. I always think you can get a veteran come in, like, you know, to stopgap it for a while.
Yeah, no, they could. And right now, the stopgap might be. Even Neil saying no Drake May, no more ACC quarterbacks. Right. So I guess the Daniel Jones experiment might be over.
Maybe the Giants will get Dak Prescott next year.
Listen, I'm hearing crazy things with Dak Prescott. We'll see.
It should be interesting, but that'll be it. All right, that'll do it here from the Omni. Long show. Sorry about the late Law and Order. Jay.
All right.
We'll see you, everybody. Dave, thank you very much.
And you know it.
Go Knicks. Go Rangers.